CBSI on the World, the Scholar Report with CEO Chris Riegel of Scholar.com, a global technology firm transforming the retail space with digital signage, business on all continents. We begin with North America, our favorite continent, the United States of America, particularly New York City, particularly Madison Square Garden and 34th and 6th, right there. The quote is breathtaking. In recent months, Vornado Realty Trust property near Madison Square Garden halted construction of a planned 61-floor office tower after Hotel Pennsylvania was demolished. Hotel Pennsylvania stood right across from what used to be the Pennsylvania Station. That was taken down in the 1960s, and in place was Madison Square Garden with Pennsylvania Station underneath, Hotel Pennsylvania right across the road. And that's gone. But the item goes on to say the unfolding commercial real estate crash forced Vornado to pause construction on their new office building. And the plans now, temporarily, we're told, are converting the property into tennis courts for the U.S. Open. Tennis courts on 6th Avenue near 34th. Chris, a very good evening to you. I was flabbergasted. Who would want to play tennis in that environment? But there it is. Vornado, and building tennis courts on, this is a prime real estate. You're right across from Pennsylvania Station. You're right across from all the subways. Everything is easy for the commute from New Jersey. You come in from Washington, right across the street is a 61-floor office building, theoretically, and would be a place to establish any outpost in Manhattan. And yet, this looks to be an accelerated version of what you've been talking about for a year. Is it accelerating in other cities? Good evening to you, Chris.
Good evening, John. In many of the large U.S. cities, principally blue cities, but also impacting red cities as well, you're seeing a repricing and a aggressive discussion around what is the future of commercial real estate. In this example for Vornado, the end point is if you cannot get loans and cannot get financing to build something new, how do you make that property sit at the least tax or least expense? And maybe tennis courts is the least bad option in the short term.
There is a building on 26th Street and Central Park South, a beautiful building, commercial. And the news is that a Canadian pension fund, which is a place where a lot of real estate is owned, has now given up on its portion of the building for $1. $1. You can see photographs of the building. It's a first-rate location. It's right down from Grand Central. Perfect. And yet, Chris, $1, is this supposed to be alarm bells? Is this the pension fund saying we're getting out and we don't care what happens after us? Does this affect everybody's prices?
It certainly affects everyone's prices. This is extremely troubling for the simple reason that pension funds are extremely long-term investors. They can withstand storms. They can withstand market disruptions. And typically, the better investors in those marketplaces can buy new inventory, can make great long-term returns when you have a crisis. If they're walking away from this building, they see no hope for that over what might be a 10, 20, 30-year horizon. It's terrifying that they're walking away, because that should send shockwaves through that long-term institutional investors with unlimited capital from a pension side are saying there is no return on these buildings in the next several decades.
You know Manhattan as well as I do. We're not talking about buildings that are in an old section of the city, long since overwhelmed by either conditions or lack of parking, or the city moved north. We're talking about primary real estate, easy commuting from the suburbs and the rest of the country, one at Pennsylvania Station and another at Grand Central Station. Does that signify something worse about the buildings that are not such locations?
It certainly signifies that the market has not found a base yet, that you will continue to see decrease. John, the other thing to start to look at is within 2025, 2026, with these values being readjusted dramatically lower, what is the impact that's going to have on New York City in terms of operational budgets? This will send shockwaves further through those budgets as values decrease, revenue from the buildings decreases, tax revenue from the buildings decreases.
Let's go to Europe. Bloomberg reporting, Germany's slow-motion property crash is a looming risk for banks. Subhead, a long-term view of property values has shielded banks so far. That could change soon if more forced sales hit the market. Isn't that what we just said? What Bloomberg is writing about Germany is already happening in Manhattan. And the Germans invest worldwide. So they're experiencing in all of their cities what we're witnessing in Manhattan, would be my leap to conclusion. Is that substantial? Is that substantiated by the facts?
I'd say it may be somewhat different from the facts specifically on the ground in Germany. Germany as a cross economy is having a seminal decline because of the challenges around the expensive energy in a manufacturing economy like Germany. So the entire economy is shrinking or constricting, where when you see commercial real estate in the U.S. and the declines in price there, it tends to be the higher priced markets where people have not yet come back to work that may have been overheated to begin with. But it's a greater indicator of the change in any of these asset valuations based on people not being in the office and not having new economic development that consumes these spaces.
Checking on Europe, Germany is flatlining at best. Italy is projecting 0.7 for 24. The UK declares itself in recession. Are we going down from here? Can you tell? Or is everybody bottoming out? Can you tell?
We've not yet seen a bottom. You will see more transactions like this Canadian pension fund walking away. And until the market finds a bottom, no one wants to catch falling knives.
We go to China. The video on the Wall Street Journal I highly recommend about what has happened to the Chinese real estate market. There are said to be 20 million residents empty or not owned or owned but not finished. 20 million. And some of them, I always presume, with these high towers built on the outskirts of secondary cities, built on places that flood easily, you know, but they got big loans against their territory and built the buildings expecting people to come. Well, they haven't come yet. However, I see a video, Chris, of mansions that have been abandoned with no windows, the snow and the rain blowing through these buildings. And they're lined up like a Tucson, Arizona development, everybody right next to each other and empty. Do you believe that China's getting worse, that it's not just high rises for modest income, it's for the well-to-do who have not been able to take possession?
So, John, the number at 20 or 26 million is probably wildly underreported. Some analysts have put that number well over 100 million unfinished properties, principally in the most dense environments. These high-end homes are a symbol of the greater economic challenges in China. People and capital are fleeing China rapidly because of that decline. And are Chinese going to put their life savings in an immovable asset or the developers that would finish those? No. Money is fleeing from China, and there's no sign of a stop there either.
And the unemployment is a way of measuring the real estate and vice versa. The real estate market is troubled. We can see that, but we cannot see the unemployment numbers because they're not trustworthy. Do you measure the unemployment is deepening?
Continues to grow. There's high employment in China. However, many of the governmental employees and many of the make-work jobs are currently not being paid and have not been paid for 6 or 12 months, especially in the interior of China. So far, there is not a path out or a bailout path for the economic crisis in China. Mr. Xi has floated Chinese adding liquidity to the system, Chinese taking over at the governmental level some of these unfinished residential developments. But until the global economy reheats and drives China as the factory floor for the globe, the problem is not solvable.
I mentioned the global economy because it's when you look at it in detail, for example, the Italy 0.7 projection, you do not see a robust recovery from either the pandemic or something that was supply chain driven, high-end inflation or inflation driven by U.S. spending. The U.S. stands alone as doing okay and hoping for better. Is it because we spent all that money, the trillions of dollars during the pandemic? Is that why we're standing out and the rest of the world is struggling?
John, the U.S. government is double, triple filling the gap of slowness from the U.S. consumer. So while we do have growth, it is at an extremely high cost in debt, and the U.S. government is being that customer that's keeping the market alive. That can only sustain as long as the debt survives. If interest rates continue to tick up, that debt time bomb will detonate and we'll have a substantial problem.
Chris Riegel is the CEO of Scholar.com, a global technology firm, business on all the continents. This is the Scholar Report. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.